Chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. What do you know about 2 Corinthians? What about 2 Corinthians? Carol, you get anything in 2 Corinthians that just grabs your thoughts? Vincent? Anything in 2 Corinthians that just...
I always think of that one verse. I think it was in 2 Corinthians where Paul is talking about himself. He normally doesn't, but then he kind of talks about the things that he went through, kind of like, I guess, validating himself for other people. I think it was 2 Corinthians.
He tells more about his own personal life in 2 Corinthians than anything else in the Bible.
Well, it paints a really good picture of what he went through.
Yes.
You know? And he wasn't just preaching the gospel in safety and comfort.
I don't think he ever preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in safety ever.
Yeah.
Never. And when you see, I preach some pretty hard things. I preach the truth, but it may cost me my life one of these days because a lot of people don't like me in false religions because I just say it the way it is. And people get all upset sometimes. And anyway, I get, even from people that are believers, I get some pretty harsh emails at times. Because what I say doesn't end here. It goes all over the world. All over. Now, it can go all over the world. It can influence people's lives, or it can make them mad, make them angry. And I always challenge people to think. It's a good trick if you can learn to do it. Don't think in the box, like you're in a church house when you go to church. I've told you so many times here, Brother Ray remembers this from nearly 40 years ago, maybe 40 years ago. I always told him to check me out. Now it's so easy, just Google it. You can Google it. You know, I've had people, the website started on ham radio. And I have been harassed on ham radio tremendously. I run a great big amplifier with good antennas, and so it's very hard for people not to hear me, not because I want to be heard so much as a person, but what I say sometimes is extremely important, and especially if I'm answering questions, and people just say, well, you just say it like it is. Yeah, Marilyn says, boy. You ought to wear a bulletproof vest all the time. You know, but we do. I try to teach the truth. I try to teach the truth in what we call Calvinism. I try to preach the truth in who God is, in the person of God, angelology as we study. And I try to let the Bible preach itself. I just let it take care of it. People used to get mad at me sometimes. You're preaching right at me. You're preaching right at me. You're insulting me today. You're preaching right at me. I said, no, I'm preaching right straight from the Word of God. And since that subject was there, there it is. If it offends you, nothing I can do about it. Sometimes that happens. 7 and verse 1. Paul the Apostle is talking to this church at Corinth. He's defending himself. And he is thanking, in the 7th chapter, he's thanking God that God convicted them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, because this church was sinning. And Paul said, you don't go to church for the good, you go to church for the worse. When you get to church, you sin more than you do out in the world. And then, in verse number 18 in the 6th chapter, what is that talking about? 16 through 18 or so through there. It's not talking about marriage, is it?
No.
It's talking about what your fellowship is. Working with unbelievers. They were having a real hard time with that. Today, we're on a different page, in a different world, at a different time. But we still need to remember what he told the church at Corinth. If your job is taking you away from the Lord, quit it and go someplace else. And that's what their jobs were doing. That's why he told them, don't work with unbelievers. He didn't say don't get married with unbelievers. He said don't work with unbelievers. Period. Don't do it. because the unbelievers were carrying them away from the truth. Now in verse number 7, and it's two pages, tautos, un, ekontes, tas, epangelios, agapetoi, katharis omen, hialtus, apo pantos, molismu, sarkos, kai, pneumatos, epilontes, hagiosine, and phobo theu. Therefore, the ones having, these having the promises. These having the promises. Look at that word having there. It's nominative plural masculine present participle active. It's continually. Having the promises. Apangelios. Apangelios. These are, and then what kind of promises are they? There's a little adjective here. Beloved promises. Let's go back and look at that in the Amplified Bible. Therefore, since these great promises are yours, these beloved promises are yours, are ours. Now, where was the gospel and the administration of the kingdom of God? Who had the reins of that over here? In this period of time. Who had the reins of the kingdom right here?
Jesus.
Who?
Moses.
What?
Moses.
Oh.
Israel.
Oh, okay. The reins of
them. Were they worthy of the administration of God's kingdom?
No.
No. Are we?
No.
No. But what did they do with it, the administration of God's kingdom? What did they do? They were supposed to look for the Messiah, weren't they? Mm-hmm. They looked for him all right. When they found him, they murdered him. So they lost the reins of the kingdom. Now, are there churches that ever lost the candlestick? There are some of them never had it. But are there true churches that ever lost the candlestick? Have true churches ever gone astray and got their eyes off of Jesus and out there? And, you know, these mega churches are one great example of it, aren't they?
Oh, that they're still there?
To become a mega church, you know what you got to do?
Compromise.
You got to bring in Pentecostalism. You got to bring in everything under the sun to get them there. You got to lower the boundaries. You got to accept this baptism. You got to have open communion. You got to have these things. That's necessary. You will offend somebody, and you want to be user-friendly church. Nothing wrong with having big churches, but when you lower your boundaries to get big, that's wrong. Then you have disrespected the God of your heart. Have you not? You've disrespected the beloved promises. Have you not? The beloved promises. Israel shunned their king and did not respect the promises that they had. And they had it. Did Jesus tie? Tied to the scoundrels. Did Jesus pay his temple tax, which wasn't even in the Word of God? Yeah, to please them. He did. Having the beloved promises. Here it says the great promises. Promises are ours. Beloved. These great promises, these beloved promises, may we cleanse ourselves from all contaminants. From all contaminants. What kind of contaminants does the world have? Let's name some of them. What are some of the contaminants that the world has? Contaminants, Marilyn. What are the sinful contaminants of the world?
Well, there's a lot of them.
Immorality.
Idolatry.
Worshipping of gods.
Worshipping of other gods. Greed. Greed. You see that? Greed. Manipulation. Pride. All of these things.
Selfishness.
Selfishness. Yes, selfishness. These are all the contaminants of the world, aren't they? These are contaminants. Marilyn, you got a drink, you got a bottle of water up there, and you got another cup with something in it.
Mm-hmm. I have a choice.
You have a choice, okay. Now, if I came over there and put just a little bit of strychnine in both of them.
We still have a choice.
Or arsenic. Or arsenic. I put strychnine or arsenic in those. Would they still be, how about if it was chocolate and I put a little arsenic in it? Or, how about if it was chocolate and I put a little arsenic or strychnine in there?
With the chocolate?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to fool me.
But isn't that what the world does?
Yeah.
All that chocolate, all that candy, all that stuff out there has poison in it. It's not good for us. It's a contaminant.
Mm-hmm.
Contaminant. I worked in the oil fields. And what I did and how I lived would have produced cancer in my body. I lived on a farm. And what I did and where I lived and what I breathed would have put contaminants in my body. And you know what the most common production side effect of those contaminants is?
Cancer.
Cancer. Which I have.
I've had it three times.
Yeah, you've had it three times. You lived on a farm.
Yeah, knock on wood. I'm still here.
When I was going to school, I took agricultural science, and they told me if you live on a farm, you are going to die of cancer. If you don't die of a farm-related accident. Remember, that's got strychnine in it, Marilyn. We do that, yet the things of the world are so glittery and so beautiful, we want them anyway, don't we? They did. They did. They wanted it. These, therefore, having the promises of the beloved, we may cleanse ourselves from, look at that word, katharismion, to cauterize a wound. When you get cut, you put antibiotics on it, you put iodine. You know, the old, and I was listening to somebody on the radio the other day, and they said, when they used to use mercurochrome, that was more of a punishment than it was a medicine. Mercurochrome was easy on you. Methylate was a hard one. They got it backwards. Methylate was, that's almost pure iodine. You were rough. I mean, you put that on, boy, I didn't ever want anybody putting methylate on me. Mercurochrome was all right. It looked the same color, but one really hurt. Remember when I tore my hand off? That truck run on top of it and sat on there with five cords of wood on it plus the weight of the truck on top of a rock. Stopped there. I said, get that thing off my hand. I tried to pull my hand. I could have pulled my fingers off because it was crushed. My hand was crushed. Pulled it out. It was just nothing but bone sticking there with ligaments and fat. Tissue kind of squished it out in little bubbles. And I took it and took kerosene and poured all over it. Burned like mad. But I went to the doctor. And he started cutting away all of the messed up flesh. And my hand was in alcohol. And I mean, there was hardly any meat on top of my fingers and hardly anything on that one. And they were all beat up really bad. But you know what? It was good for me. I could have lost that hand if they hadn't put antibiotics and catharismos, cleansed it. What is one of the greatest things people die from in hospitals today? Staph infection. The world is full of staph infection of sin. You know what happened in the boils down in Egypt was staph infection. That's what happened. God just used something. They didn't know anything about it. They just called it boils. But boils is staph infection, so to speak. These things are promises, beloved. May we cleanse ourselves. And look at that word there. Sharon, could you conjugate that little word, katharisomen?
First person, plural, first aorist.
That's active.
Active, okay.
And what is the other little thing?
I'm not sure.
Subjunctive.
Subjunctive.
So what got his first person plural, first aorist, subjunctive active? First aorist tells us what? Punctiliar action. What subjunctive mode tells us? We either do it or we don't. And that's what we call volition. Remember all you hyper-Calvinists out there when I keep telling you the decrees of God that some of you have, the decree to elect and damn, and etc. Mad has volition. And in the Greek text, it's always there slapping you in the face. That's why I'm a modified sublapsarian. Because I have to deal with the conscience of man. Now, two things. God won't save you in spite of you. There's a volition there. God won't cross that volition. He won't cross your will. Now, he knew you would be saved in eternity past. In space and time, you would repent and you would be saved. But then there's the other part of it, the saved. If you're saved here today, are you actually in the direct will of God? Are you doing everything God wants you to do? Have you actually cleansed yourself from all of those things in the world? Have you? Have you? Have you divorced yourself from all of it in the world? Cleanse. May we cleanse ourselves. And what mode is it in? God's not going to make you. You do it or you don't of your own self, huh? Well, we surrender ourselves to God and to His Word and to His will. And sometimes we don't know to do God's will until we learn what His will is, do we? A lot of people out there in the world today don't know what the Lord's church is, do they? The real church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that about that a little more now, Sharon, than what you did before. It's a great new window and door you walk through, isn't it? Been in church almost all your life, but you didn't ever see that. I started preaching how many years ago? 7, 8 years ago. And I would speak of the church, and you had a whole lot different idea of the church than you do today. It's a very precious entity to the Lord, isn't it? Very precious. May we cleanse ourselves. Look at that word, hialtous. The bride has made herself ready. Salvation is by grace, is it not? No mixture of works and grace. It's by grace only. Church membership is by choice and by grace. But what keeps you, church membership, real, true church, New Testament church membership, makes you eligible to become the bride. But what makes you become the bride is up to you. What part of your life you're going to give? A little bit. You know what it takes to become the bride, Brother Ray? You know what it takes to become part of the bride?
Well, for one faithfulness.
Everything. That's what it takes. Not 50%, not 60%, not 80%. I think the bride, to become part of that bride, it takes 100% like Paul gave. Show me where Paul held back. Anything.
Nothing.
Not his life. Not his well-being. not his comfort. Nothing. 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 May we cleanse ourselves from all pollution, all contaminants of the flesh. Belonging to the flesh. That's genitive singular. Belonging to the flesh. All contaminants belonging to the flesh. And of the spirit. Are there spiritual forces out there trying to lead you astray? How often? Are you ever free of it? Remember we studied about angels this morning. What do fallen angels and spirits do? They try to separate you from your service from God, don't they? They do their best. What happens is up to who? You. It's you. How much are you going to give to the Lord? Brother Ray talked about tithing today. Why, is that all? Is that all you're going to give? Have you ever tithed? Do you refuse to tithe? Do you refuse to give of your life? What does it take to be part of the bride? Everything. Mm-hmm. All. Divorce yourself from all contaminants and greed and selfishness and wants and desires. All pollutions of the flesh. And the contaminants build up, don't they? If you look on a albacore label or a shark label or a marlin label or a bluefin tuna label, it'll say, you shouldn't really eat this because this animal lived long enough to where it had a lot of contaminants in it. Mm-hmm. Giant lobsters. I want a great big one. That lobster may have lived 300 years with all those contaminants of mercury and arsenic building up and building up and building up in its body. The same thing that great big tuna. The same thing with that big shark. All these things. My cancer doctor says, don't eat a fish any bigger than that. That big. It didn't live long enough to get too much pollution in it. And be sure you know where it came from. And yet we stuff ourselves with the things, the contaminants of this world, don't we? Now, this is a really gross example. You like fish? You like fish. My stepfather, Dusty, they lived on a farm in Texas, in Oklahoma, and then they moved to Texas. And they left the farm in Texas. He joined the Army. He had never shaved with a safety razor. He always used a straight razor, and it wasn't very sharp until he went into the Army. He said it was like being on vacation, getting out there before daylight. And they farmed two section lands with animals, with mules and draft horses. And he left that farm forever. His dad offered to give him the farm. He said, I don't want it, Dad. They struck oil on it. Some preacher bought the thing and they struck oil on it and they got rich, this filthy rich. He said, I wouldn't have farmed that farm one more year for all the oil in Texas. But he went out there one time and they had an outhouse and they'd caught some catfish and threw them down in there because the water level was like 2 foot deep, and if you dug a post hole, you had a water well. He went there and he went back after 20 years, and those catfish were still swimming around in that outhouse. Now, well, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people like catfish. Would you eat those catfish? No. Yet we look at things of the world, and it just looks so good to us, doesn't it? We want that. I want one of those. I want. And yet, what if you looked at it as contaminants? You think those fish were contaminated? Marilyn, I don't like to eat catfish, do I? Huh? They taste like a mud hole to me. I got a real strong sense of taste. And every time I think about that outhouse.
Well,
But look, let us look at the world like that. May we look at the world like that. May we. It says that, may we. From all pollution and of spirit, of flesh and spirit. And then it says here, epipelontes. 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 What's that mean? Epipelontes. Epipelontes. That word teleo there means what, Brother Ray? You remember that? Teleo. That means the end. Terminal island. That's the end. Comes from teleo. Teleo. Epitelio. That means upon the end is what it literally means for the maturing. Bringing to maturity. Bring to the end result. What is our end hopes in this world? What is our hopes as members of true churches? That we might be part of that bride? Mm-hmm. That we might be part of that bride? What does it depend on? The bride has what?
Made
herself ready. There's some of this stuff that belongs to our responsibility. How much are you going to give to the Lord? How much are you going to give? How much? Your mind, your soul, your heart, your desires, your wants, your needs. We have needs, don't we? Well, I'm telling you something. That's hard to meet the needs sometimes.
The bride has to wear a white dress that's not stained.
That's where we are now, Marilyn.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, I've seen some Baptists and knew what the bride was. And they were bloody, muddy, dirty, filthy dresses. Hagiosine. Hagiosine. That comes from hagios. Okay? That means not of the world. I preached about worldlings and worldliness here a while back. Worldlings and worldliness. My hopes is when people look at me on camera, which I'm on camera, this is way over 2,200 videos I've done. Way over 2,200. That when they see me, they see a preacher. I try to get my hair where it's not standing on end, and I try to look like I'm presentable, look like a preacher. And the idea in the world today is setting a preacher sitting on a bar stool in front of a crowd with them out there drinking their coffee, they'll whatever, eating their donuts and stuff. User friendly. Remember Brother Madden telling me one time we went down in Colombia. In South America, different places down there. And he said the people didn't have much. But when it come to going to church, they put their best on. It was clean and it was the best, even though it had patches all over it. I swear. Marilyn, you have seen me go to church and stand up there burning up,
mm-hmm.
sweating, soaking wet with sweat, and me still with my clothes on, my coat and stuff. Why? I said, it's not for now, it's for the future. I want them to see me like that.
You want to look respectable.
I want to look respectable. I try to act respectable, too. That's the next thing, see. Not looking is not all there is to it. Holiness. Why do we want to be holy? There's a song about wanting to be holy, isn't there? Vincent, isn't there a song like that?
Yes.
Help me be holy. Or...
Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
Take time to be holy.
Take time to be holy.
Yeah. Talk with the Lord.
That's it?
Yeah.
What's holy mean?
Out of this world.
Not related to this world. Otherworldly. We have too many worldlings, but God wants us to be otherworldly. Remember.
Hagios. Hagios comes from two Greek words, alpha and gay. What's gay mean, Sharon?
The world.
World. And what's this mean?
Not.
Not of the world. When we're born again, we're born from above. When you're born the first time, you're born contaminated with your father's blood, damned. Damned. You know, there are religions that don't believe that. There are religions that don't believe in the original sin. That mankind is not responsible for anybody's sin but your own. Muhammad hated the doctrine of original sin. He hated it. He said that's a gross idea. That we're responsible for Adam's sin or something. That's terrible. That doctrine is right out from the jinns and the devils. Another figment of his imagination. There are no devils and there are no jinns. There are demon spirits and there is one devil. And I think the devil has inspired many religions, including that one, which is not holy. You read the Quran. It's not a holy book. That's a hellish book. Right straight out of greed and hell and thievery, robbery, adultery, everything you can think of, all the bad stuff, that's what it is. The Bible tells you to be holy, doesn't it? Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit a falsehood against your brother, adultery, all these things. It says not to do that. Mama said, do it all. Do it all. He lived off of murder and thieving. When he left Mecca, he went down to Medina and made that false covenant, that short-lived covenant with the Jewish people down there. He killed them all, or else dispossessed them, one or the other. Those he didn't kill, he dispossessed, and he began to attack his own people and rob and murder them and kidnap them. Ask for ransoms. The Bible tells us to do that? Does the Bible tell us to do those things? A holy book. The Bible is a holy book. When the Bible told them to go in there and kill and don't leave one person there, why? It's because those people were diseased and those people were hellish, hell worshipers, demonic worshipers. Did he kill them all, or could some of them be saved by volition? We saw them. We saw them, didn't we? Bathsheba's husband was one of them, serving God in a great way. Ruth, the Moabitess. Moab means water. Incest, the water from the father. Rahab, the courtesan, the harlot. Yeah, she's a Canaanite. God saved her out of it. Holiness. Holiness in phobethiu. In phobethiu. Phobe means, what word in English do we have from phobio? Phobia. Phobia means what? A fear. Now, some people have phobias of things that aren't real. It's a phobia that is not really founded, and that's why they call it a phobia, because it's a mental disorder. Some people are afraid of elevators, so they won't go into elevators. Some people are afraid of escalators. Some people are afraid of spiders, ichthyomies, arachnia, phobia. There's all kinds of things. Some people are afraid of crowds, agoraphobia. All of these different phobias. But there's one thing that we really need to fear. How powerful is God?
All powerful.
Do you think the whole world ought to fear God and Him only, Jehovah of the Old Testament?
Yeah.
Israel ought to be fearing him today because Israel's got a great big, they got a great big event awaiting them, don't they? The tribulation period. Because they didn't fear the Lord the first time, so they're going to get to fear him the second time real good. Two out of three of them are going to be dead. Holiness, separation, otherworldliness. Because of the fear of God. In the fear of God. Do you love God? He said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. If you love God, keep his commandments. If you love him. Not the ones you want to keep, but all of them. All of the commandments. Not to get saved, not to go to heaven. We don't keep the commandments of God to get to heaven. There's some people out there live in fear of God because they think the first thing they do and everything they do, God is watching them all the time. Marilyn, did you ever grow up with a love of parents that knew that they would forgive you no matter what you did in this world? Mm-mm. No. No matter what you do. Now, God is going to forgive you no matter what you do. But what you do has got to be how close you get to be with him in eternity. It means something, how close you are with God. Why, some people only share Sunday mornings with the Lord. Some people go to church because there's free donuts and coffee. And they're not expected to wear anything special. They'll just go looking like they were out on the beach or whatever. Don't make no difference how I look. I remember an old sermon the old preachers used to preach. Grab the kids, scrub them up, and let's go to church. Remember who said that? Remember where that came from? Jacob. He says, get rid of all the contaminants. That's after they had killed all those people. Let's go to church. Boys, you boys need preaching. Let's go to the house of God, Bethel. Scrub the kid, put on clean clothes, and let's go to the house of God. Let's go to church. I heard that sermon preached many, many, many times. You ever heard that? I preached that a long time ago, yeah. But for you, wash out the world, put on the clothes that are depicting you what you are. If you dress up like a streetwalker, the world's going to think you're a streetwalker, huh? People dressing up. I walked into a place one time dressed like I am right now, and this black boy came up to me and he says, what are you, a pimp? You got antennas all over your car out there. And I said, no, I'm the FBI and I'm looking for you. I said, what did you get in all this trouble for anyway? What did I do? I said, what haven't you done? Anyway, that was quite a deal. Smart mouths. They got to have a smart mouth to people. He knew what I was. Very well. In fear of God, in fear belong. The fear we have of God is not for that we're going to be hell scared, are we? Are you hell scared? Are you afraid if you do one thing wrong that God's going to send you to hell? No. Why do you want to do things right? Why do you want to serve God? Because you fear him. Do you fear God? Do you fear God? What is it in your life that you have that God wants today? What does he want? How does he want you to fear him? How does he want you to take one more step toward this right here? What's he got? What are you holding on to? What is it? What is that thing that's contaminating you? And we leave these things, we lay these things aside for Him. Not because we're afraid to go to hell, because we want Him, we want to please Him. Do you want to please God today? What can you do to please God? What does God want you to do this day to please Him? 7 and verse 2. 7 and verse 2. Koresate. Himas. Udenea. Edikai somen. Udenea. Athe ramen. Udena. Epi leon necto or necte somen. That's a lot. That's some big words in Greek there. Marilyn, I said them very slowly.
I noticed that.
I said them very slowly. See, she always gripes at me because I talk too fast in Greek. And I could have gone through that very quickly, but each word means something.
Yeah.
Ye make room for. That's a command for us. No one we wronged. No one we have injured or betrayed, and no one we have led astray.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, can you say that? Can you say that? 7 and verse 2. Make room for us, no over not one. That comes from uk, day, and one. Hina. Moreover, not one. We have wronged, we have corrupted, we have treated unjustly. No one we have betrayed or injured, and no one we have led astray. And who's Paul talking about? Who's we? He and his companions that built that church in Corinth. Let's read 1 and 2 in Amplified. Therefore, since these great promises are ours, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates and that defiles body and spirit, and bring our consecration to completeness in the reverential, godly fear of God. Do open your hearts to us again. Enlarge them to take us in. And we have wronged no one, we have betrayed or corrupted no one, and we have cheated or taken advantage nor led astray anyone. How many pastors out there have robbed churches? How many have? How many pastors are robbing churches today by not feeding the sheep? Intentionally. Intentionally, wanting to tickle their ears, as Paul said. Do you know people, when I say pastors tickling the ears of the congregations, who do you think of? People hearing a real good story and just going out and saying, oh, I feel better. Not preaching the gospel of God at all, period. Joel Osteen ring a bell? Really? That's number one. Down there at the Crystal Cathedral and all of these different places like this, all they are is psychological sessions to make you feel better. And they're not ever going to offend anybody by telling them they're wrong or they need to repent. Are they?
No.
Or telling them that Jesus Christ is the only way. There is not but one gospel. And that gospel is that Jesus Christ came into this world to die for sinners, that Israel rejected Him and murdered Him, and the kingdom was changed to the hands of the church, which you can be part of today. But then that's another surrender, isn't it? That's another thing that you have got to give up. Make room for us. No one we have corrupted, no one we have wronged, no one we have injured, and no one we have led astray. I have preached in all kinds of churches. In my life, I preached in boxcars and tents, preached on creek beds, preached at the edge of the ocean, preached on mountaintops, preached in outhouses, and almost elevators. I have preached in elevators. You see these things. What does God want for you in your life today? What does He want for you tomorrow? Well, see if you can get there. Live today as you ought to live, and maybe the Lord will give you tomorrow. Will He really not? Vincent, what song do we have?
536. And tenderly.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the portal, He's waiting and watching.
Today, otherworldliness. How much world do you have in you? How much world do I have in me? Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out to you to do with as you will throughout all the world. I pray that it will convict sinners of sin, righteous and judgment to come, that it will convict preachers that listen to it, and church members and deacons and those that are lost to come to you, and those that are saved to give their lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.